Morning. Today's daf is Chaf Aleph in Erechin. We are back on Chaf Amud Aleph. Tanur Rabbanan, we started right away with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. Braisa is going to reiterate a lot of the points we made back in the Mishnah, and we get right into it. Chomer min adarim be Erechin. Neder is sometimes more chomer than Erechin. Shehan adarim chalon al behema chai va'of, because you can make a neder on an animal, on a chai and an oaf, meaning that's the whole point of a neder. Neder can sometimes be that you obligate yourself to bring something, or it could just simply be that I'd like to make a neder that I'm going to bring an animal. Or, as Rashi points out over here, the value of an animal, meaning I'd like to give the value of an animal, the value of a bird that's going to work. Ve'en nedarim behesigan. Sorry. Shadar chalam behem achai va'o, ve'en nidonin behesigan. Also, with a neder, there's no special assessment. Meaning this idea that I can't afford it, and therefore, can I get a break? That works in the world of Erechin, that does not work in the world of nedarim. Masha'en came by Erechin, and in these two examples, it doesn't work by an Erech. I'd like to give the Erech of my dog. No such thing. Okay, there's no Erech of a dog. There's a value to a dog, but there's no Erech to a dog. Once again, time and again throughout this Masechta, we uncover the truth that an Erech is really all about a person, a Nefesh, as the Pasuk indicates. Chomer by Erechin ben Nedarim. Now, let's go the other direction. Sometimes an erech could be more chamer than a neder. Ketzad amar erki alai umeis yinu yorshin. So if a person establishes, I'd like to give an erech, I am going to give an erech, at that point in time, now there's a chov, there's an obligation. Immediately, right? Because what more is there to the discussion? There is nothing more to, there's no assessment, meaning we know what an erech is. An erech is the value of whoever he decides he'd like to give the erech of. It could be either himself, it could be somebody else. But at that point in time, now there's an obligation that's established. So if he dies before having paid his erech pledge, so his children have to pay the pledge. Demei alai umeis. However, if he says, I'd like to give the value of whatever, himself, somebody else, whatever the case is, and he dies before the assessment, lo yitnu yorshin, shein dam lameisim, so then the yorish doesn't give. Let's say that he says, I'd like to give my own damim, my own value, and then he dies, ein dam lameisim, so there is no damim lameisim. The children do not have an obligation.
The obligation of children is only in the case if they inherit something?
Right, the children, in other words,
if they don't inherit something, like this father doesn't leave anything.
In the case of an erech, what the child is inheriting is their account payable, meaning it's their father's obligation.
Suppose that the father doesn't leave anything.
In other words, yeah, they much like children, much like children can inherit receivables, collectibles. So children can also inherit debt. Sure. Okay. Amar erki alai umeis yitnu yorshim. Let's say the person says erki alai. And he died, so Yinu Yerushim, so he has to give Shema Minah. Now, the Gemara says, now, what do you see from here? The discussion that we've had at the end of Bechoros, discussion we've already had here in Erechin, let's do it again. Shema Minah, Milva, Alpeh, Minah Yerushim. So the Gemara says, so what do you see from here? That if it's an oral obligation, there's no contract, nobody wrote anything, it's an oral obligation, government Yerushim, you can go and collect from the Yerushim. Meaning, exactly what Hedy just said, that you can, the children can inherit the obligation of the father, but not just contractual obligations, but even verbal obligations as well. So the Gemara says, "Shani hachad milvaksiv b'torah hi shema mina milvaksiv b'torah kiksiv b'shar damya." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe we'll say what we said at the end of Bechoros, what we said at the beginning of Erechin, that since this is an obligation that's written in the Torah, it's kiksiv b'shar, it's like it's written in a document." And this is a tried and true machlokus throughout the Gemara. Whether this is in fact so, whether something which is written in the Torah is considered contractual or not considered contractual. So the Gemara says, Hacham b'maiskin k'shama b'din. So the Gemara says, well, maybe over here we're talking about a case where there was already hamad b'din, which means that the court already established that you need to pay. Once there's a court order, that is contractual. That the children definitely inherit from their father. So maybe over here we're talking about where there's hamad b'din. So the Gemara says, if that's true, dekavasei gabe demei alai, shamad b'din. Well, if you explain one part of the braisa one way, you have to be consistent, and the second part of the braisa also is talking about where there was hamad b'din. So, and if there's a hamad b'din by damim, meaning the father said, not erki alai, but demei alai, I want to give my value, and there was hamad b'din, so the children are going to have to pay. So the Gemara says, look, it's still different. Because Ir Ki Alai, you're obligated. There's nothing more to determine. Meaning, what do we want to know now? How much do you owe? We know. We know exactly how much he owes. Erech already is an established amount. And now there's a court order. Now, why there would be a court order, right? How did the court get involved in this? Maybe later on we'll discuss more about that. But all right, whatever. But there's a court order. So now, not only are you obligated, but because there's a court order, so your children are obligated as well. In the case of Demei Alai, even if the court points to you and says to you, you know, you have to pay, but still we're missing an assessment. Demei Alai is only going to be based on the assessment. The assessment hasn't happened yet. He died before the assessment. Okay, end of the discussion. All right, good. And end of the discussion. I failed yesterday to mention, I feel like I'd like to just talk about it quickly, Rashi back on the Mishnah. Take a look at the Mishnah for just a moment. The Mishnah talks about Ein Damim L'Meisim, right? The Mishnah says that there is no value for a dead person, right? Okay, I'm pretty intuitive. Meaning when the person's dead, right, his body's asa bahana, and in other words, we can't make an assessment for that individual. So,
except the hair.
I saw he discussed that, right? The hair of somebody, right? We just did that back on Daf Zion. The hair may be motu bahana. Okay. But anyway, in Damim L'Meisim, there's no assessment for somebody who's dead. So Rashi says over here in the Mishnah, that's not always true. It's not always true. We do find one case in Halacha where we assess the value of somebody after he's dead. Right? Any guesses where that would be? So Rashi says, by Kofar. Take a look at back at Rashi and the Mishnah. Rashi says, Hadatani Baba Kama. I'm reading in the Rashi. It's the second Rashi in the Mishnah. We learned in the Gemara Baba Kama, Venasim Pijonav Show, Demei Nizak. That, you know that if your animal kills somebody and your animal was a sure hamuad, so in other words, you really should have protected the animal, and then the animal went down and killed somebody, so now you have this kofar. You pay for the value. Now the value of who? The value of the owner or the value of the victim, subject to a debate, but one position is it's the value of the victim. Okay, now, victim's dead, right? So you're assessing the value of that individual post-mortem. Mm-hmm. Now, what basically Rashi's doing is Rashi's asking a question. Wait a second. Our Mishnah Erchin on Daf Chav says, Ein damam l'meisim. There is no value for mace. So how in Baba Kama, all right, so Rashi's going to make a distinction, but how is the Gemara in Baba Kama, is that going to work where you're going to assess the value of the victim who now currently is dead? So the Gemara Rashi addresses that. Hasamu taima mishum de mishaita de azik rami lilishlume kishasa hezek. Okay. Rashi says, look, when your ox did damage to somebody, in this case, your ox violently killed somebody, so your obligation to pay is right there and then. Meaning at that moment, while the hezek is happening, so your obligation now is in place. The only issue is just simply, how much do you need to pay? But the assessment over there is just determining how much. The assessment is not creating the chov. The assessment is just a determination of how much you have to pay. Vayishaita de'azke chayhu aval. Okay, good. So that's the case of Nezik and that's the case of Kofar. But here says Rashi aval demei alai. When he says, I want to give my value, in this case, the obligation is not yet even in place. He's only making a neder based on whatever the assessment's going to be. And he never got to the point of assessment. All right. So in other words, so basically what Rashi's saying is you have to see the difference. In the case of Demei Alai, you haven't immediately created an obligation upon yourself. You're waiting for the assessment. Once the assessment comes in, now you're obligated. As opposed to the case of Nezik, where the obligation is right away, and that assessment is only just to determine how much. And it is true, even according to Rashi, meaning we're still not going to know exactly how much he is. It's hard to assess him when he's dead, but okay, I guess we throw out some number.
So this is like a moment before death.
Yeah, that's a good point also. Meaning, right, Rashi says, to quote the language of Rashi, at the moment when he's being assaulted, he's alive. Right, meaning... In other words, it's all happening at the same time.
It's a life insurance policy.
Right, correct. right, really, right. It pays the moment before. Right.
The matter of the inheritance of the debt, how does that work when one's approaching Yovel?
No. In other words, debts like that are anything on paper, anything contractual, is forgiven by Yovel, or but not Yovel, by the way. Shemitah is where everything's forgiven. Is it going to be forgiven by Shemitah? I mean, it could easily be avoided just simply by Prusbol, but. All right, it's a fair question. Erech Yadiv Erech Ragli. I'm sorry, Erech Yadiv Ragli Alai Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav Enosin Dameha. Now, Rav Gidol Marav says, When you state, I'd like to give the erech of my hand. I'd like to give the erech of my leg. Now, as we've known, we've said this already a number of times. No such thing. No such thing as the erech of your hand. The erech is only on you, or an organ that's so significant that you can't live without. But there's no such thing as an erech of a hand. There's no such thing as an erech as a leg. Okay, but he said it. I want to give the erech of my hand. So Rav Gidol Marav says he's got to give the value of his hand. Now, hold on one second, but. That's not what the Mishnah says. In fact, the Gemara says, "Vahalo amar klum ketani." You go back to the Mishnah, you reread the Mishnah. The Mishnah says he said nothing. Okay, nothing usually means nothing. So lo amar klum l'rabbanim v'nosin dame l'rameir. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what pshat is. According to the Chachamim, right? He said nothing. But according to Rav Meir, I know he said nothing, but we're going to reinterpret. Remember, this is the same old Rav Meir that we've seen already a number of times. Ein adam motzi davar shelo right levatala. A person doesn't just simply say things, according to Rav Meir. And so therefore, even though it has no meaning, we will infuse meaning into what he's saying. And if he says, I want to give the erech of my hand, we know, right, we have to now reinterpret. He forgot, he didn't mean erech, he meant damim. We're going to reinterpret. Now, by the way, that works out against him, because now he's obligated. He's obligated to pay the value of his hand. Ha'amar chadazim adam rav gidol amar rav ha'omer erech kli ze alai nosin damav. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we've been here, done that. Meaning we already know that Rav Gidol Marav subscribes to the rule of Rav Meir, and he says that if a person says something which just sounds at surface nonsense, we'll reinterpret it so we will make sense out of nonsense. In fact, the person says, I want to give the erech of this recorder. The recorder doesn't have an erech. It has a damim, but it doesn't have an erech. So what we're going to do is, silly maggid shir of the Daf Yomi. Don't you know that this doesn't have an erech, it has a damim? Oh, it must be that he wants to give the damim of this. And we'll reinterpret and we'll make sense out of nonsense. But, so the Gemara is bothered. Why did Rav Gidol Marav repeat himself on something that we already know? They said, Ma'u detei ma'hasam hu da'adam yodea, she'ein erech lekli v'gamar v'amar l'shem damim, Avahacha mita katai, the Savaki Hechadi Ika Erech Roshiv Erech Kvedi, Ika Nami Erech Hadiv Erech Ragli, Avaldame Lo Kamar Kamash Malan. Look, to say that a voice recorder has an Erech, that's such a nonsense statement. Meaning, Erechin is only by people. So over here, he made such a foolish statement, it can't be that he said something that foolish. It must be that he meant Dumim. So we'll be more than happy to reinterpret his statement. But if he says Erech Ragli or Erech Yadi, maybe there's a chance he really legitimately was looking in giving the Erech of his hand. Could be, meaning, because he only made a small mistake, not a ridiculous mistake. In other words, he knows, I know there's an Erech for a head, I know there's an Erech of a liver, okay, so I said a hand. But he legitimately meant Erech, and maybe we don't have a right, even according to Rav Meir, to reinterpret his words, because maybe he really meant Erech. No, I really want to give the Erech of my hand, which means essentially he's saying nothing, but that's what he meant. And we don't have the right to reinterpret, and Kamash Malan, that even according to Rav Meir, even in this situation, we ain Adam, a person never says something nonsense, and so therefore we will always try to make sense out of his nonsense. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. The halacha doesn't follow like Rav Meir, but Rav Gidol Marav follows Rav Meir. It's interesting.
So his erech is meaningless. Nothing happens.
The erech of his hand.
Yeah.
Right, the erech of his hand, the erech of his foot. Erech Roshi, first really wide line on the page, towards the end of the line. Erech Roshi Berech Kvedi Nosein Erech Kula Maitam Nefashos Kam Erech Mana. Nefesh, meaning everything's predicated on nefesh. You can't live without a head. You can't live without a liver. So therefore, it's nefesh. It is nefesh. And the Gemara throws in what the Zahaklal, you know, Zahaklal always comes to add something. What is it coming to add over here? Answers the Gemara, it comes to add min ha'arkuva ulamala, above the knee. Above the knee, I'd like to give the erech of my, not just my ankle, right, not just my whole calf, but even up and beyond my knee, right, into the thigh. So that is Davish Anashama Tluya Bo, and so therefore you must give now Erech. Chatzi Erki Alai, what if I say I want to give half my Erech? Tan Rabban Chatzi Erki Alai, no saying Chatzi Erko. So you give half your Erech, meaning here it's fine, because you're assuming that you have an Erech, right? Your Erech is whatever it is, and you want to give half the Erech. Okay, good. Right? I'm a man between 20 and 60, my Erech is 50 Shkalim, I'd like to give half of that. Good. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Omer, Loke v'nosein Erech Shalem. So Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda says, you're going to get Malkus and you're going to pay Erech Shalem. Now Malkus? Now, yeah, that's the Gemara's question. What? Malkus? Meaning, okay, I understand, but now's not a good time to hit me. I didn't do anything that deserves that. So Loke, Amar Rav Papa, Loke be'erech shalem. So here the Gemara says, Malkus over here does not mean literally. Malkus means figuratively. It means basically, people, we talk like in these terms also, right? In other words, oh my gosh, he hit me over the head with the price. Right here, that's what Malkus means. And my taima, now, good. So Loke is just a figure of speech. He's not getting Malkus. He's getting hit over the head in the sense that now he has to pay a full erech. Gemara's next question. Why does he have to pay a full erech? He only wants to give chatzi erki. And meanwhile, he's giving a full erech. So gzera chatzi erki out to erech chatziav. Oh, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because if he were to flip around the words, instead of saying chatzi erki, he says erech chatzi. I'd like to give erech on half of my body. Now, it doesn't matter what half it is. You can't live without half of your body. That's neshama. That's nefesh. So you have to pay full erech. So Rav Yossi says, look, that's very subtle. The difference between chatzi erki and erech chatzi, that's a very subtle difference. People may not see that difference. So you know what? Gzera, rabbinic decree, that even if he says chatzi erki, which in reality means that he's only obligated to pay half, but because the next person who watches him says, oh, let me do that. And instead of doing that, instead of saying chatzi erki, he does erki chatzi, and he'll pay half, and he will not satisfy his obligation. So the Chachamim said, according to Rav Yossi, the Chachamim said, you know what, across the board, you're always going to have to pay full erech. Havidavish anasham tuliyabo. Okay. And here also, does not seem that we pass on like Rav Yossi. Chatzi demei alai, no sein demei. Chatzi alai, no sein demei kulo. Okay. My taima, the Gemara says, neder be'erkecha nefashos ksiv. Because in the world of neder, it also behaves like an erech. Much like we said earlier, the hekesh between erchin and nedarim, right? And it's not a full hekesh, meaning, but in this regard, it will be a hekesh. Just like by erech, if I say I'd like to give erech of half my body, you're on the hook for the whole thing. If a person says I'd like to give the damim of half my body, well, you can't live without half your body, so that turns into nefesh. And again, the Gemara repeats. I'm not sure what the Gemara, what we gained over here. It sounds like we just repeated what we said earlier. Above the knees, considered davish anasham atuliyabo. Tanu rabbanan hamarich chatzi erech kli. If you are marich half of the erech of a kli. Okay, machlokus over here, whether you give the value of it or whether you don't. Again, machlokus Rav Meir and the Chachamim, again, predicated on the same point that we made earlier this morning. Rav Meir says, people don't say things just for naught, so therefore we will reinterpret. Now, Rava Chalos, now the Gemara follows this up with a story. Rava is sick. Ola gabe abaye virabana v'yastivik v'kamre. So they got Bikur Cholim. Bikur Cholim visited by Abaye and the Chachamim. And they, what are they going to do when they visit him? Talking Torah, obviously. But Yalsa Kamri Bisham America Savina Damosid Vavlavatala Loshna Kula Veloshna Chatya. Look, I understand the Rav Meir's position, right? He's consistent, right? Ain Adamosid Vavlavatala. El Rabbanamai Kasavi Adamosid Vavlavatala Filukulonami. Now look, the Chachamim's position is the one that I don't fully understand. Because the Chachamim, if they hold that Adamosid Vavlavatala, so therefore, the whole thing. So Amar Lehu, we're going to say over here, Amar Lehu, Abai V'Rava, Rabbanan Da'achik Rameir Savrila, V'Savrila K'Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, this position of the Chachamim is a hybrid. It really is it's a composite of two positions. Savrila K'Rameir Damarina Damosi Dvarvla V'Tala. Number one, they hold like the Chachamim, sorry, let me do that again, they hold like Rav Meir, that people don't say things for no reason. Meaning, we will always infuse meaning into a statement. For several of Shimon, Damar Shaloh, he's not div kederachem is nadvim. So, on the other hand, he also takes into account the position of Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon says that when you make a neder, it has to be quote unquote normal. It has to be a normal neder. Neder that people normally say. Kule orche liis neduve. Look, when you point to a kli and you say, I want to give the value of that kli, it's normal for people to say the full value of the kli. Palge lav orche le'is neduve. But it's not normal for a person to say palge, to say half. So therefore, we want to infuse meaning into what he's saying. It's not normal for a person to say half. So therefore, we're going to bump it up all the way to full.
So it's a really big kli.
All right. Ha'omer erko shaponi alav u'meisa noder ma'inihu sha'amad bedin. So the Gemara says, this case over here is where there was hamad bedin, where the Beis Din came up with a ruling. There was a court order. Ha'inu ha'ach sefer itzrichle dam shaponi alav u'meis ha'noder yitnu ha'yorshim. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. In other words, it sounds like more of the same. However, says the Gemara, no, we need it for the following scenario. Dam of Shaploni Alav, in other words, I take upon myself to give the value of so-and-so, and he dies. I'm sorry, Umeis HaNoder. So Yinu HaYorshim, so Yorshim have to give. Ma'od Detema Kem Dolam Duhu, Lo Ishtavu Nechasai. So the Gemara says, look, on one hand, no assessment has been made yet. Since no assessment has been made yet, so therefore maybe his property is not backed and mortgaged against the obligation. Maybe. So Kamash Malan Kem Adam Al-Bedin, Ishtabu Ishtavu Nechasai. So the Gemara says, look, once there's a court order, and the court comes and says to this guy, you need to pay your obligation. A court order now creates a chov, it creates an obligation. All of his possessions now are going to be mortgaged and securing that obligation. So that means that when he dies now, the kids inherit that obligation as well. We didn't make the assessment yet, says the Gemara, Gilui Ba'alma. Yeah, the assessment at that point in time is just telling us how much. But the chov is now in place.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a very good question. I'm not sure. Meaning, we're going to learn later this morning about Beis Din coming in and taking collateral. Okay, one of the more exciting discussions that we're going to be having on this topic. But you're right, though. I don't fully understand when the court is going to start getting involved. His reluctancy, maybe he made some sort of statement. I'm not paying it. I'm not really sure. Right, the court. I mean, the court's going to have to operate with some information. Okay. Shur Ze'ola, we start the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah over here, right, before we start the next Mishnah, everybody knows Neder versus Nedava. Right? It's one of the most basic distinctions that we talk about in the world of commitment and obligation. Okay? To just simply lay out the groundwork. When I make a neder, I make a personal obligation. That means I have personal liability, right? Recourse, if you will, right? Where now, if for whatever reason, the animal that I pointed to and I said, I'm going to give this as a carbon, but I say the word Allah, it's upon me. So at that point in time, now I am personally liable. If the animal is not brought for whatever reason, I'm still obligated to bring a carbon, okay? As opposed to nedava. Nedava is where I point to the animal and I say, this is going to be a carbon, zeh. But I do not say the words Allah, that's nedava. And so therefore, the animal will be a carbon, but if something happens to the animal, I'm off the hook. There is no recourse, okay? So the difference between neder versus nedava is just a simple recourse and no recourse. Good, okay? That's basic, Mishnah Megillah. Okay, what if you confuse the world by saying both zeh and Allah? Okay, and you confuse yourself. So what then would be the halacha? So the Mishnah says, shur zeh ola. Ubay zeh korban. I point to the ox and I say, this ox is a ola. And I point to the house and I say, the house is a carbon. House is a carbon. You of course do not mean that you will be offering your house up on the Mizbeach. Okay? It simply means that the value of the house now is, meaning the house is given to the Beis HaMikdash. They're now owners, proud owners of the house, and obviously they will turn around, sell the house, and good. Umeis hashur v'nafal habayis pater milashalem. Ox dies, house falls down, no recourse. Right? You did not say the word alai. You said, in both of these cases, zeh. This ox, this house. Shur zeh alai ola. Now here, read the Mishnah carefully. Shur zeh alai ola. That's confusing. Or bayis zeh alai karban meisah shur v'naf ala bayis chayav l'shalem. Okay. Here there's recourse. Now you said alai. But you also said zeh. Okay. So right. So it seems to be that if just simple pshat in the Mishnah, if I have alai versus zeh, right, like Danny says, alai trumps zeh. Okay, that's what it would seem to be.
It could be like saying it's upon me to bring a shore like this. Like not a particular one, but like this. Like
right, right, exact, perfect. Like in other words, here's an example, but really I'm right. Ultimately it's me. Okay. Now, if we stopped at this point in time, that's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. That it's alai versus zeh, done. Done and done. Alai beats zeh. Order does not seem to be sick. Well, let's do the Gemara because the Gemara really will rework our understanding of the Mishnah. Amar Bichia Barav Lo Shanu Ela Da Amar Demei Shur Ze Alai Ola. Rabbi Chia says, quoting Rav. No, sorry, Rabbi Chia, son of Rav. Rabbi Chia says that our Mishnah only will be true if he added the word Demei, meaning. He said, not shur zeh alai, but rather, demei shur zeh alai. In other words, according to Rabbi Chia, you go back to our Mishnah, you take out your pencils, and you write into the Mishnah the word demei. Okay. But, ava amar shur zeh alai, ola kemed amar zeh, umei senuchai baruch yuso. Why? Alai lahavio kamar. So Rabbi Chia says, not like what we said back in the Mishnah. He says that if it's zeh versus alai, zeh trumps alai. Okay, why? Because this is how we're going to interpret the statement. The statement really goes like this. The animal's a carbon. Okay? I'll bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. I'll take care of it. But really, zeh. The animal's a carbon. But no recourse. No personal liability. Okay? Now, what about, good, that's fine. What about the Mishnah? Rabbi Chia says no. The Mishnah is talking about a scenario where he said the word demei. Now let's try to interpret it how he said the word demei. Okay? Let's go over the statement including the word demei. Demei shur zeh alai. The value of this ox is upon me. You see, now that he added the word demei, it's no longer about the ox. It's about the value of the ox. Oh. So there's no such thing. In other words, now the word zeh can't be interpreted to be going simply on the ox. The ox is a carbon. Because that's not true. It's the value of the ox. He needs to point to something because, in other words, we have to know the value of what, right? What are you obligating yourself? The value of zeh. But zeh is now no longer telling us that the animal is the carbon. The zeh is just simply telling us the value of what. And now all that's left for us now is a lie, meaning personal liability, personal recourse. Okay. So really what Rabbi Chiya does is he takes the Mishnah and he basically flips it on its head. Even though the simple pshat in the Mishnah is, as like we said when we read the Mishnah, is that a lie trumps zeh, so Rabbi Chiya says, no, just the opposite. Zeh will trump a lie. What about the Mishnah? You're going to add the word in the Mishnah, the word demay. Okay, it's interesting. The Gemara doesn't say chesuri mechsura, v'hachi ketani. Like it's not, right? You would expect the Mishnah to go into that, some sort of format like that, and it doesn't. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge Rabbi Chiya from a braisa. From a braisa. Shor ze ola. This shor is an ola hashor hektish amal ambasa. The shor now, of course, the ox is hektish, and there's an isser of me'ila on the animal. Meso nignav, enuchai bechriyoso. Now, if the animal is stolen or if it dies, so you're not obligated in liability nor recourse. Shor ze alai ola. If you say the magic words, shor ze alai ola. So you say ze and you say alai. Hashor hektish amal ambo. Meso nignav chai bechriyoso. So there's full recourse. Why? Because a lie is trumping zeh. Good. Kasha on Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya simply says, "Mi alima mi masnisen." Look, that's so interesting. Meaning, you're asking me a question from a brisa. Congratulations. The brisa was any stronger than the Mishnah?
But he adjusted the Mishnah. He didn't stick with the Mishnah the way it was. He added the word.
Good. So what he'll tell you is, just like I adjusted the Mishnah, I'm going to do the same thing with the brisa. If you have no problem with me adjusting the Mishnah, you'll be more than happy with my adjustment of the braisa.
Actually, that's a good question. How could an Amora like adjust the Mishnah?
Because he's not arguing with the Mishnah, he's adjusting.
I know, but
that's a tweak.
But it's an Amora.
But it's
that
not.
Word is implied.
Nobody. I mean, he really. But everybody's tweak. He's actually turning
on his head. Correct.
You know,
correct.
And it's an Amora.
Agreed. It's a tweak. I know.
I
understand. I may not be satisfying. I may not be satisfying you with that answer. It might sound glib, and I apologize. I try not to be glib, but in this particular case, I'll be a little bit glib. Okay, he's just tweaking the Mishnah, and the Gemara says, and if I were fine doing that with the Mishnah, I'm doing the same thing with the Braisa. Mi alima mamastisin do kimna de kamar demay. Hachanami de kamar demay. I'm doing the same thing over here. I'll do the same thing in the Braisa. Read the brisa as demay. The Gemara says, yeah, but not here, meaning not with the brisa, because the brisa does continue. And what's the next case of the brisa? Demay. Okay, so you already know, even without reading further, you already know what the Gemara is going to do. If the next part of the brisa is demay, you can't do that to the first part of the brisa. Clearly, the first part of the brisa meant to omit the word demay. If we only add that to the second part of the brisa, and that's going to be a problem. Let's see the second part of the brisa. Reisha dol kamar demei diktani sefer, because it says in the second part of the brisa, demei shor ola shor chulin ve'ein ma'alam bo. Meso nigna ve'enu chai b'achriyuso. Avachai b'achriyuso damav. So if you say the word demei, you're on the hook for the value. Not the ox, but for the value. Reisha v'sefer dekamar demei. So the Gemara now, in defense of Rabbi Chiya, says, you know what? No. Both the first and second part of the braises are talking about where he said the word demay. Okay. If that's true, what's the difference between the first part of the braisa and the second part of the braisa? Suggests the Gemara. Reisha de'amar yaktish hashor lidamav. V'sefet de'kamar l'cheshayaviyo damav yaktishu. Okay. This is really subtle, but basically the Gemara says like this. In the first part of the braisa, he says, look, this ox over here will be sanctified vis-a-vis its value. Meaning, I'm obligating myself for the value of this ox. Okay? Kedusha's domim. The value of the ox now has Kedusha. Okay. Second part of the braisa goes like this. This ox over here, don't touch it. Meaning, it's mine. But I will say this, though. I'm going to the market today, county fair. I'm going to sell it. And when I sell it, the value, the proceeds of that sale will go to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So what is he being matish? A future consideration. Now, at this point, and the Gemara says, okay, good, we'll get, that's our next step of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, and that's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa of the Braisa. Reisha is being makdish its current value. Seifa is, he's being makdish that future sale that will take place. Fine. Okay, and so we have successfully defended Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya says that both Reisha and Seifa are talking about Demei, and we still see, subtly, a difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. Now the Gemara is going to say, wait a second, transactions with futures? Yeah, right. Oh, boy. We don't do that. So, Reisha was saved, the Gemara, Demei Reisha, Damai, I'm sorry, I just read that. V'ha in adam makdish davar shelo ba la'olam. What are you doing? You're being makdish a future sale? You don't do that. Ein adam makdish davar shelo ba la'olam. We don't make transactions on futures. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Hamani, Rav Merhi, damar adam makdish davar shelo ba la'olam. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you that the author of this brisa is Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, we do. Meaning Rav Meir does, in fact, allow for transactions on futures. Now, Iga da Amri, just 1 second, let me just finish the thread. Iga da Amri, Amri le Rav Papa, L'Abai, V'Amri le Rav Mibar, Chama le Rav Chista, Kaman ke Rav Meir, Da'ama Adam Akdash, Da'ava Shalaba, Ola, Ola. Is it going like Rav Meir? And in typical Jewish fashion, Amr Leva Ella Kaman. Well, who else do you think it's going like? Yes. Right? That translation, by the way, for those of you who don't speak Jewish, meaning yes. Right.
Then.
Huh?
Then.
Right. Who then? Yes. Yeah, right. But no, but if he's saying value, in other words, he's saying basically the animal itself, no. In other words, I don't want to invest it with Kedusha Saguf. I just want to give it Kedusha Daman, just its value. Okay. You want to connect the two. That's interesting.
It is.
Okay. I'm always in favor of trying to connect, connect the shitas. Okay. Now, this idea of davar shelo ba la'olam, some people attach this discussion from a different starting point. Very interesting. This is a total side now. In other words, the Gemara is off on a tangent, but it will be here only for a couple of minutes. Hamaskir Baisa Chaveiro. Okay, imagine the following scenario. Okay, this was a Tosefta. You rent out your house to somebody. Okay, so you're a landlord, and a nice person now, nice family is renting out your house, and lo and behold, the house now gets infested with saras. Okay? Not a bug infestation, right? Not termites. Saras. Saras now infests the house. Afa pi shechaltu kohen. And not only that, a kohen comes over and says, Mitzora muchlat. Meaning this is not questionable saras. This is it. We're looking at saras. Omer lo harei shechalafanecha. So the landlord... Now, I know we have a lot to say about landlords. We probably have landlords sitting here in this room right now. So I'll be careful about how I speak about landlords. But the landlord will say to the tenant, enjoy.
It's your field.
Right? Haresha chalafanecha. Meaning, look, right? The house, well, hold on 1 second. We're going to assign blame in just a moment. I purposely did not assign blame, as the Gemara will look to see, well, whose fault is it that the house is infested with saras, huh? Let's assume it came after he started renting. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amala, Harisha Chalafanecha. So the landlord says to the tenant, look, Harisha Chalafanecha, house is up, right? Good. AC still works?
Enjoy.
Fine. You're good. Okay? Enjoy. Enjoy the house. Harisha Chalafanecha. Nitzitzo, Chayv Lahamilo Bias. Okay? But of course, you know that if it's Mitzora Muchlat, what's the next stage of the house?
Destroy.
So we have to destroy the house. We have to take it down. So at which point in time now the tenant is homeless. So now, at that point in time, it is the landlord's responsibility, because he's going to get paid rent, to now find a new house.
Why would the rent have to pay rent if the house is destroyed?
Huh?
Why would your errand have to pay?
No, in other words, the point that Bryce is making is that the landlord now is still bound contractually to provide for him the house.
Wow. But if he's not, if I don't get it, if the house is not in existence and the renter is not paying rent, what is a landlord's obligation?
Landlord's obligation is to provide him home.
For 2 years.
The contract says I'm providing you a house.
It happens to be that right now. If the guy paid 2 years of rent in advance, I could see that argument. But if the guy's paying monthly and the house is not paying anymore, so I follow.
It's not like contracts we have now. That contract must say, I'm going to rent you a house no matter what.
Mm.
And our contract says, I'm going to rent you the house at
123 ABC Avenue. Now, Rashi over here, fascinating. Rashi over here says, now we get to the interesting point of the discussion. Well, whose fault is it that the house now is infested with saras? Who was speaking Lashon Hara? And Rashi's very clear. Rashi takes a very clear position in terms of assigning blame. And all Rashi's doing is just explaining the Tosefta. It's the owner. Rashi says, absolutely. Look at the last Rashi on the page. Nitzitzu kohen chayev masker lahamid bayis acher lesocher. Landlord's got to provide new place of residence. Demishum mazle demaskir hu. It is the mazel of the maskir. Landlord must have been speaking Lashon Hara. That is why, in other words, we talk about this in so many different areas of halacha. When you have a renter who's renting a house, whose house is it? Meaning we understand the deed still is in the hands of the landlord. We understand that. But obviously, when you rent a house, that means that you have rights to the house. So, meaning, who is the house more shayach to, right? We talk about this in terms of a simple halacha of bidikas chametz, right? You're renting a house, so whose obligation is it to be bodek, right? The landlord or the renter? Renter. Because the renter is the one using the house, so it's his obligation. In other words, so you'll see in halacha, like, it's not always clear, like, you know, who's in charge of what? But over here, though, who's in charge of tzaras? I mean, that's a funny question. But who's responsible for the tzaras? So Rashi says it's got to be the maskir. Got to be the landlord. Now, it's interesting. Rashi says he's the one who... Right, it's so funny. Rashi doesn't give that example. I don't know why. Rashi says he's the one who probably stole, because remember, a short couple of days ago, seven things bring about... Saras, two of the seven is stealing and being stingy. Saras, all right. Gila Arayu, Shvichas Damim. And I don't know why Rashi over here sticks with two of the seven, Gezel and Saras Ha'ayin.
Lashon Hara wasn't popular.
maybe. I don't know. Hik Disho, we're now on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Hik Disho. Hadarbo malaschar lehekdesh. Now, then the Tosefta goes on, and the Tosefta says the following, that if he is makdishit, ambiguous pronoun, who is being makdishit? Stay tuned. So he gives schar, he gives the rental fee to hekdesh. Now, higdisho hadarbo hechemati makdish. Now, the Gemara at this point is assuming, oh, the renter is being makdish in the house. That can't be. Renter doesn't own the house. He has rights to the house, but he doesn't own the house. Hey, chimati makdish. La ish ki yakdish, beso kodesh amarech manama, beso berushuso, afkal berushuso. So, basic rule, we say again and again throughout Shas. You can only be makdish something if you own something. So when you rent something, you have rights to it, but you don't own it. So, clearly, the Tosefta is not talking about the renter being makdish it. So who's being makdish it? Owner's being makdish it. Hachi kamar. Hikdisho maskir. Hadarbo malas chala hekdesh. So the rental fee then goes to hekdesh. So the Gemara says, let's think about this just one more step along the way. Hikdisho masker hechidayerbe. What if the landlord is being makdish the house? That means that you can't get benefit from the house. If you get benefit from the house, you're moel behekdesh. You're misappropriating. And dayerbo b'meila kai. So question number one, you're not allowed to live there. Question number two, says the Gemara, V'su ma'la schar lehekdesh kevin damal b'inafek le'schar l'chulin. Nafek le'schar l'chulin. Right, when we get to Masechta Me'ila, we'll see this again and again and again. We will be indoctrinated. And I say that positively. But what is the consequence of Me'ila? that whatever your moel now is yotze lechulin. You know, meaning it's no longer hektesh. Once you're moel, okay, it's a consequence, meaning it's not a positive thing, it's just simply a result. That when I'm moel, meaning if this cup belonged to hektesh, and I use this cup, the cup is yotze lechulin. Okay, fine. In other words, there's a chov, but in other words, it's a consequence. So the Gemara now wants to know, so over here, the owner of the house is makdish the house. So it's a twofold question. Number one, you can't live in the house because it's me'ila. Number two, if you're mo'el, so the house is no longer kadosh. So the amr l'cheshivos charo yak yikadesh. So the Gemara says, you know what the case is? Here's what the landlord said. Right now, the house is not kadosh. But when you pay me this month's rent, the money will be kadosh. So what he's doing is, on a future consideration, he now is making that money kadosh. And now, let's say, off this Tosefta, and off our understanding of the Tosefta, let's say the same discussion again. How can you be makdish a future? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav. How many Reb Meir he? Yeah, that's the position of Rabbi Meir. Damar ad makdish tafesh lo bala olam. Igad amri amale Rav Papa la bai amri la Rav Mari bar Chama Rav Chisa kaman kara Meir. Damar ad makdish tafesh lo bala olam amale vela kaman. Well, who else do you think it's going like? Meaning, yes, it's going like Rav Meir. Okay. Which is right. Which we basically don't accept Rav Meir's position. Okay. We start the new Mishnah. What an enjoyable discussion about to occur in the Gemara, and that is that the Gizbar, the accountant, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, has power. Power that a regular creditor does not have. A regular creditor who is having difficulty with his borrower, and his borrower is just simply not paying. Okay, so obviously, I mean, look, there's going to be liens against his property, and certainly he'll have exercised certain rights. In other words, and we generally say that in other words, the malva usually has the upper hand, but still, you know, limited in terms of what he can do. As we're about to learn right now, if the gizbar, if the temple treasurer, if they're the ones who are owed, if they're the creditor, they can do some things which are quite frankly amazing. For example, chayve erchin mimashkinin osan. So if you owe an erech obligation to the Beis HaMikdash now will knock on your door, maybe not even wait for you to answer the door, come into your house and simply say, I'll take this, I'll take this, I'll take this, collateral against your obligation. Okay? Now in general, on a loan, on a regular loan, you can also take collateral. But first of all, you can't take collateral, right? You have to do it via Beis Din. Right, if the person doesn't allow you in, you can't go in. Also, on a regular collateral, right, the Torah says that you have to return it at night. If that person needs it at night, you have to return it at night. Meaning there are limitations, there are restrictions on the collateral that is taken by a regular creditor. If your creditor happens to be the Beis HaMikdash, okay, they come in full force. Okay, it is a sledgehammer. And they
what's the reason?
You owe.
I know you owe, but
you owe. So the I don't,
because they don't want you to think this world.
Correct. Now the Mishnah does not give us a lot of details, meaning when are they coming in? The day after you made your pledge? A week after? Right? We're not given a lot of information from the Mishnah.
After 3 years. This is up to 30 days.
Right. Now, I will tell you this. I will tell you this. Meaning, we know that once you make a pledge, once you make an obligation, you are on the clock. Okay? First yontif comes around and you didn't pay, you're a mevatel, a mitzvah asay. Right? Motzei sfasecha tishmor. Something comes out of your mouth, you got to keep it, you got to keep your word, you got to keep your pledge. So once the first regal comes around and you didn't pay, you were mevatel, you violated a positive commandment. Three yontifs come around and you didn't pay, you are now in violation of a negative prohibition of what the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah calls bal te'acher. You have now, you're now late. Okay? You are officially, formally late on your payment, the Isser of Bal Te'acher. Now it's a lav shein b'maisa, so you're not going to get malchus, but that's not the point. The point is that we do have halachic time considerations, one yantiv, three yantivs. One yantiv to violate the asay, three yantivs to violate the los asay. Could be, now, we're not sure. It could be that the Mishnah over here is talking about mashkon, maybe after the first yantiv, maybe after three yantivs, unclear. Now, when it comes to chatas or nasham, no collateral. Meaning you're obligated to bring a carbon chatas. They're not going to come in and take collateral. Why not? It's very simple. You're motivated, right? You already have a built-in incentive. A carbon chatas, right? When I go up to Shamayim, right? I don't want that on my record. So you're already motivated to bring your carbon chatas, your carbon nasham. So chai ve'olos v'shlamim v'mashkenin. But if it's just an olah, if it's just a shlamim, so there we'll take we gizbar temple treasure will take mashkon because there you're not so highly motivated.
Does the temple treasure need to have two witnesses to say that you made this?
Right. What's the process? I'm not 100% sure. Alpha pishe miskapelo achi adrach that now mashkon taking collateral and basically you're forcing the person to bring a karbon. Now, as a general rule, when you bring carbon, the only way carbon works is if you bring it willingly. So it says the Mishnah, it's not a problem. Make him say, I'm bringing it willingly. It's easy. Shenemar l'ritzono, kofenoso ashiomer rotzani, v'chenata omer begite noshin, kofenoso ashiomer rotzani. So basically, right, beat him over the head until he says, I'm willing to do it. All right, everybody knows, the Rambam says, it's a famous Rambam, it's always worth reviewing and repeating, the ratzon panimi, meaning internally, intrinsically, we all want to do the right thing. The Yetzahara, right, so forth and so on. We all understand that the world prevents us from doing so, our Yetzahara prevents us from doing so, we all want to do the right thing, even if it requires a little bit of coercion. Right.
Is this why you put them for a rocks and chop?
No.
No.
We'll strike it from the record.